الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ دلے افسردہ بدن لرزیدہ
ولا أمة بعد أمتي ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال الله يا عيسى ابن مريم إني رسول الله إليكم مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, as you would recall that last week from the Gregorian point of view, there was a long weekend in which it was told that from that point of view it was the Easter weekend. And the Friday that fell into that Easter weekend is known not so much in our terminology, but in the terminology of Christianity and sometimes other isms as Good Friday. Now you and I, we believe that every Friday is good. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that there is no day better upon which the sun rises than on the day of Friday. So for us, every Friday is a Good Friday. But just from this other terminology, Good Friday is regarded to be the day in which Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam, aliyadu billah, according to the Christian belief, was crucified, and the resultant suffering that came about because of his crucifixion, he said that that was the atonement for the sins of humanity. And I felt that it would be a good thing for us to look at this whole situation and look at how we view Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and also with regard to the whole aspect surrounding the last long weekend. One of the aspects that is quite clear, that there is no doubt that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is perhaps one of the most differed about personalities in the annals of human history. On one hand, you find Christianity attributing divinity, making him one of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of Trinity, sometimes saying that he is the begotten son of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aliyadu billah, and that is on one extreme. On the other extreme, there is this aspect that the Jews, aliyadu billah, they have termed Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as a liar and an imposter in his claim of being a messenger from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as Muslims have the right balance with regard to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In many ways, the right balance between the two extremes which I have made mention. Well, let me just briefly make mention of one or two of our beliefs with regard to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The first with regard to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that his mother, when that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers him to, the mother, Hazrat Maryam, she was from a very noble family. And she is from the family of Ali Imran. A family so noble that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entitles a whole surah behind this whole family. Surah Ali Imran that we read is the family of Imran, the family of the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Maryam. Allah ta'ala therefore says in Surah Tahrim, wa Maryam ibnata Imran, Maryam the daughter of Imran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran makes mention, and remember and recall the time إِذْ قَالَتِ إِمْرَانُ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. And when the parents of Hazrat Maryam, when before her conception, before her birth, after her conception, after her being conceived, they made a vow. And what was that vow? That we will dedicate this this child that is to be born in the service of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا, and when the child was born, they saw it was a female. Initially they were disappointed because they felt that a male would be able to service or serve the deen better than a female. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعَتُهَا أُنْثَى. Oh Allah, you have granted us a child after we have dedicated this child in the service of Almighty Allah, you have granted us a female. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. Allah knows what He had granted them. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The male that they were longing for, aspiring for, would never have been equal to this female that Allah Ta'ala had granted them in reality. Because she was going to become the manifestation of one of the great signs of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The incident of Hazrat Maryam, her being established and coming to the Masjid Al-Aqsa, and how she was, is a very fascinating incident. Due to lack of time, we would leave it. One day, inshallah, we will make mention of it. Nevertheless, after she was on the eastern side of Masjid Al-Aqsa, Allah Ta'ala in Surah Maryam makes mention, Allah Ta'ala then decided to manifest one of His greatness through the means of Hazrat Maryam. وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَعَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا. And recall in your kitab the incident of Maryam, that when she took refuge on the eastern side of the masjid, the eastern side of the masjid referring to Masjid Al-Aqsa, and when she was there in her privacy, we sent our ruh, our soul, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. He came in the form of a human being. And when she saw a strange man in the privacy of her room, she said, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. I seek Allah's protection from you, if you have any fear of Almighty Allah. What are you, a strange man, doing in the privacy of the room of a strange woman? She made mention of this. And he said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكَ. I am a Rasul of Almighty Allah. لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. To give you glad tidings of a son that is going to be born to you. لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. And then she said in quite amazement, أَنَّا يَكُنُ لِي غُلَامًا وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا. That how can I get a child when no man has touched me? I'm not married and I'm not given to evil ways. I'm not given to adultery. Because the normal way of a child coming into being is the union between male and female. I'm not a married for that union to take place. Neither am I given to evil ways to find fulfillment of this outside nikah, and then a child must be born. This is not going to happen. How can this happen? And Hazrat Jibreel said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكَ. I am the Rasul of Almighty Allah. كَذَلِكَ. This is the decision of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith makes mention, Hazrat Jibreel blew through her sleeve. And when he blew through her sleeve, she immediately conceived. In fact, not only immediately conceived, almost on the point of delivery. Almost on the point of giving birth. This is the miracle of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, prior to that, there were two forms of conception that had taken place before Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. One was the normal, Adam alayhi salam, born without mother and father in a miraculous way. And Hazrat Hawa, born without the agency of a female, directly from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, we know the normal one between male and female. And here was another aspect where without the agency of a female, without the agency of a male. This was Hazrat Maryam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately when she conceived, realizing she's about to give birth, Allah ta'ala commanded and instructed her to go on the outskirts of the city. And there she gave birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked after her and cared and guided her through her pregnancy. Or not even through the pregnancy, there was no pregnancy, through the childbirth. And then she brings that child now back into Jerusalem. When she brings the child into Jerusalem, obviously she is worried. What are the people going to say? I'm not married, how can I bring a child in front of the community when they regard me and my family as pious people? Allah Ta'ala makes mention of this so beautifully in the Quran. فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِعْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. when she brought the child in front of the people, they said, "Oh Maryam, you have done something which is very wrong. Ya ukhta Harun, O sister of Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a su'. Your mother was not an evil woman. Ya ukhta ma kana abuki imra'a su'. Wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Your family were not ignoble. They were noble people. How is this that you from such a noble family bringing a child out of wedlock, out of nikah?" What is quite amazing that the people who refer themselves as Christians, referring themselves to Maryam today without the blinking of an eyelid, for them to bring children out of wedlock means nothing. In fact, 2 out of every 3 children born in United Kingdom are born out of wedlock. Here they refer themselves to being Christians. They refer themselves to Maryam. Look at other Maryam's situation. She is worried, and she is worried with regard to what is people going to say. In fact, when she was giving birth, she said, "Kuntu nasiya mansiya. If only I would have been destroyed before this day. How am I going to face the people?" And then she referred, and she referred the people to the child. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ سَبِيًّا. "Oh Maryam, how do you expect us to speak to someone who is still in the cradle? How is he going to be able to speak?" But this was no ordinary child. This was a manifestation of the greatness of Almighty Allah, and it spoke. And what beautiful words it spoke. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam spoke just after giving birth. "Inni Abdullah." I am the servant of Allah. Oh people, do not in any way cast any aspersions upon my mother. I am the servant of Allah. "Atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya." I would be given the kitab, and I would be made a nabi. "Waj'alani mubarakan aynama kunt." I would be made blessed wherever I go. Wherever I go, there would be blessedness that will follow me. "Wa awsani bis-salati waz-zakati ma dumtu hayya." And Allah, when He give me the prophethood, would give me the command of salat and zakat as long as I'm alive. "Wa barran biwalidati," "Wa barran biwalidati," and to be kind to my mother. This was what He spoke, and this was the miraculous birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which we take so much pride in. Far from any other ism, ideology and religion, this is how the Quran has made mention with regard to the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. After that, his old incident, many aspects are made mention with regard to it in the Quran. One aspect of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was that he is known as Masih. In the Quran, he is known as Masih. The ulama make that, why is he known as Masih? 2 or 3 reasons the ulama give. One is, Masaha Yamsahu means to wipe out. And Allah Ta'ala has wiped out all his shortcomings, and he is free from any shortcomings. That is why he is known as Masih. Another meaning of Masih, it comes from a different connotation, different word, which means that he is the anointed and the blessed one, blessed from Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah has touched him with his blessedness, therefore he is known as Masih. And one of his missions, Allah makes mention in the Quran in Surah Saf. وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ. Recall the time when Isa ibn Maryam told unto his people, "O my people, O Bani Israel, I am a Rasul unto you. And my mission is twofold. What is my mission? إِنِّي مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ. To confirm what Allah had revealed to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Torah. And وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ. To give you the glad tidings of a Rasul that will come after me, whose name would be Ahmad. In fact, even to the present day Bible, despite all its changing, there is still an aspect that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told the people, that I am giving you a message, but I am not only giving you the message partially, because you are unable to bear it now. A caller will come after me from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would be more superior to me, and he would give you the Almighty's message in full. Clear reference was in Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a different matter that out of pride and arrogance and prejudice that they have not, the Christians and the Jews have refused to accept the prophethood of our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another aspect with his regard to Isa alayhi salam is the fact that many miracles appeared on his hands. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of it in the Holy Quran in several places. وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ اذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَتِكَ إِذْ أَيَّدْتُكَ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ تُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا إِنْ وَإِذْ عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ بِإِذْنِي. And you would take from a mud, make a mold of a bird blow into it, بإذنه, with the command of Almighty Allah, will come back into life. وَتُبْرِهُ الْأَكْمَحَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ بِإِذْنِهِ. And he would cure the blind and the leper with the permission of Almighty Allah. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of an amazing thing, that all these miracles come from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the person upon whose hand the miracle is shown to the people also has great merit and privilege from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gives the example of what you and I see, the electricity and the bulb. And he said that, look at this particular electricity and the bulb. Now when you put on and switch on the bulb, the light will come on. But when will the light come on? Only if there is a connection between the light bulb and the fitting and the electricity powerhouse. So you see, take it as a powerhouse is Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you have the connection to the powerhouse and you don't have the bulb, would you be able to get light? You won't be able to get light. So you see, that is how the miracles are. The miracles come from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just for the sake of an example, is like where the power is coming. And the bulb that we see is also important to bring forward the light, because without it, even if you have a connection, you would not be able to get light. And the light in the bulb is like the hand or the person upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the miracle. So this is how Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has given an example just for us to understand. Nevertheless, this is just some aspect with regard to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's life. Then of course we come to the most differed about with regard to what happened at the time of his lifting. And in this regard, let me make mention of the non-fiction, of the fiction of the crucifixion. Let me say it again. Let me make mention of the non-fiction of the fiction of the crucifixion. What the reality with regard to it is, the Christians say that he died on the cross and he died in a particular way. Our ulama and Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. He was not killed, he was not crucified. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. But they were confused. The ulama, when they talk about this ayat, they say there are two meanings of it, two interpretations. Allah knows best with regard to what had happened. That just prior to the incident, 4,000 people surrounded the house of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to one riwayat, told one of his disciples, who is there who would bear the difficulty that these people wish to inflict, and in lieu of that, he is guaranteed Jannah. So one of the disciples said, I would take over this difficulty in lieu of the promise that you as a Nabi of Allah has given me, that Allah will grant me Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his physique into that of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala lifted Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They crucified one of the disciples thinking that he was Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is one of the interpretation. The other interpretation is, when the 4,000 people went in, they sent one of their own persons, go in there and go and demand Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to come out. So when he went in there, Allah changed that messenger's physique into that of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, lifted Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They, when they came out, they took one of their own person who was a messenger, they crucified him thinking that he was Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Be as it may, Allah Ta'ala says they didn't kill him, they didn't crucify him, but they had a misunderstanding. These are some of the interpretation our ulama have given. And Allah Ta'ala further says, وَإِنَّهُ لِعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ, that وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. And the Ahle Kitab would definitely bring Iman upon Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as is a reality which I am making mention of through the means of the Quran. They would also bring Iman upon it before his death. So this matter would be decided. And how would it be decided? One of the great signs of Qiyamah would be the descending of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In this regard, there is a hadith which appears in Bukhari Sharif, that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, this hadith is narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by he in whose hands my soul rests, Isa ibn Maryam is to descend amongst you as a just ruler. He will break the cross, which is the greatest symbol of Christianity today. He will break it, showing the falseness of this whole belief. He will kill the pig. He will abolish jizya, and wealth will increase to such an extent that one sijda will be more valuable than the whole world and that all it contains. Wealth will become so widespread that it would lose its appeal because of its being so widespread. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come. This, I just very briefly made mention of one or two aspects. In conclusion, I would just like to make mention of one or two other aspects. One is that we need to be careful. Although many of the people would just take it as as a few extra days to spend with their family. But there are certain aspects which have a great bearing upon the beliefs that the people have, and they manifest it in various ways. Like, for example, we find the Easter bunny or the Easter eggs. It's important for us to look, and this is an article which appeared in last week's Saturday Star, March the 26th, and I would just like to read a portion from you. That the egg, like the rabbit, the Easter egg and the Easter bunny rabbit, was a symbol of the renewal of life and therefore a logical symbol for the later celebration of Easter. What does it mean is that they believe that on Easter Monday, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was again resurrected. So the egg is a symbol of new life, and therefore you have the Easter egg, and the rabbit is also looked upon as a symbol of vigor and vitality. Therefore you find the Easter egg and the Easter bunny. So people just need to be careful with regard to it in buying Easter eggs. I'm not saying it's haram, I'm passing a fatwa, but there's a definite type of message behind it. Why is it only at the time of Easter? We need to be careful with regard to it. I find it also quite amazing that, in conclusion, making mention that they believe, the Christians believe, that what Isa alayhi salatu was salam went through, the suffering, the difficulty, through that, it's a means of atonement of the sin of people for the entire humanity. That is what they believe. And they tried to graphically describe that in one of the famous films, The Passion of Christ, recently. And I was very amazed to read an article in a Newsweek magazine with regard to the present Pope's condition and the suffering that he is going through. And once again, I would actually quote and read from you a passage from that Newsweek, which appeared on February 28th of this year. And what this Pope John Paul had said, and he makes mention that human suffering evokes compassion. It also evokes respect, and it, in its own way, it intimidates. Then he told his followers that he had heard God and was about to change the way he led the church. I must lead the church with suffering, he said. The Pope must suffer so that every family in the world should see that there is, I would say, a higher gospel, the gospel of suffering with which one must prepare the future. Now you and I, we don't believe in this concept. We don't believe that you have to suffer to come closer towards Almighty Allah. If difficulty comes, we must bear it. We must make sabr. But we don't ask for difficulty and suffering. Yet it seems as if suffering is a means of the emancipation, and suffering is a means of them coming closer towards the Almighty. We don't believe that the suffering of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will atone for our guna. Because you and I believe that our destiny and salvation is not tied with anyone, even with regard to Isa alayhi salam. It is tied to our own conduct. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No one would bear the guna of another person. Therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his own family members, you save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. Even the fact that you are close to me would not be able to save you on the day of Qiyamah. Only your deeds will be able to save you. We don't have the situation that someone suffering will atone for our guna. We're going to have to account for our own sins ourselves. And our own conduct, if it is good, will save us. This is one aspect. There are many other aspects, but I think I will conclude with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'awana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.